Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Before we dive into the Word today, I just want to make a shameless plug for Hunt to Harvest happening this weekend. We are still, that's fast approaching, and we are still in need of volunteers. I told somebody earlier this week, I was like, this is the best event to volunteer for because you get goose popper, smoked trout, a venison nacho bar, and a full catered meal just for showing up to serve. Now, I'm not saying that's why you should do it, but I'm just saying there's some perks to serving at Hunt to Harvest. But there's still a lot of spots to fill, even like Tuesday night, Wednesday, even into the days leading up to the event and the event itself. This is an outreach event. This targets a very specific group of folks who love Jesus or are curious about Jesus and love the outdoors. And we're in Rockingham County, and that covers a lot of people, I'm just saying. I is one, so I can say that. But this is a very targeted outreach opportunity. We believe that this is a move of God's kingdom in our story, in our time, in our community. And so I'm unapologetically inviting you, encouraging you to be a part of it, to get in on the front end. And maybe if you show up and serve, you get to see what it's about. You think, oh, man, I know someone that needs this event next year. And so you might be able to multiply that opportunity for God's glory. Hunt to Harvest, if you have questions, you can look on the Church Center app. Always come find me after service, and we'll get you connected. So today, we are continuing in our Relationships Righted teaching series. And specifically, we're going to continue with a biblical lesson from the world of boating. Specifically, boating safety. Now, if you think it's strange that boats end up in preaching, I would just call your attention to the New Testament and the teaching of Jesus. He spent a lot of time in boats, performed miracles in boats, and he taught from boats. And so I'm just trying to be like Jesus today, okay? That's all I can do is pursue him. Anyway, boating safety. As you think about boating, and again, this disclaimer just needs to go out. This is not a replacement for knowing how to be safe in a boat and following the laws, okay? Don't get pulled over and say, well, the preacher didn't say, Leave me out of it. But anyway, there are some lessons to be learned in boating safety. There are some things you have to have to be legal, to be safe on a boat. The first one probably comes to no surprise to you, right? Everybody knows what these are. What are? Life jacket. Well, one of you. All right, so not going boating with anybody else here. So a life jacket. If you should end up in the water, this is to float you upright and keep you alive. Life jacket. This is piece number one, probably the most critical. Everybody's got to have one. There are some other things. In a boat, you're supposed to have a signaling device, like think horn on your car, except this is a boat. And so you can do something like this. If you are in trouble, you can make a signal for distress. You have to have a noise signaling device. Another piece of required equipment, kind of self-explanatory. Even though you're on water, you need a way to fight a fire besides bailing water on the fire. You got to have a fire extinguisher. Like, this is a requirement for boating safety. Now, what's fascinating is that we're pretty safe at this point, right? Like, in the case of fire, we're good. I mean, we can signal somebody down. We're going to float. But, you know, if you got pulled over on the lake with these safety items on board, you are still going to get a ticket. Do you know why? You're going to get a ticket with all of these items because you don't have one of these. This is a throwable flotation device, self-explanatory, made to be thrown. You see, all of this equipment is to save your life. In the event you fall over, in the event you need to make a signal on the boat, in the event your boat catches on fire, this is to save someone else. You see, the state of Virginia and other localities require that you be ready to take action in saving the life of someone else who has fallen overboard. And for us today, we're going to see in the scriptures that James, the scriptures are calling you and I as followers and believers in Jesus to stand ready to go after those who are wandering from the faith. That we would not only look at our safety and our walk with Jesus, but that we would be ready. That we would go after the wanderer. So I'm asking you today, are you ready? Do you have your throwable in hand? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word today. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the truth, the invitation, Lord, the severity of this text. And Lord, not that we would feel condemned or guilty, but Lord, that your spirit might convince us and invite us to take action, to address wandering in our life and in our relationships. So Holy Spirit, have your way today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So this is part three. If you're just joining us, this is part three of our relationships teaching series. Throughout this series, we're seeking to gain a biblical approach to addressing our relationships, not just marriage and family, but all relationships that we encounter. And today, we are specifically looking at our relationships with wanderers. We're talking about the responsibility that we have for the wanderers in our life, our call to be a lifesaver in their life. We get these instructions from James chapter 5. If you have your copy of Scripture, I'd invite you to turn there today. We're really going to hang out on two verses for most of our time together this morning. James chapter 5, beginning at verse 19 and 20. These are the last words of James's letter, the last two verses. He says there, "My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins." We are called to go after the wanderers. And so right out of the gate, one of the first things we need to understand is who or what is a wanderer? Who is James calling us to go after? The word wander there in the original language, it carries this idea of being led astray, of drifting, if you will, away from the truth. It speaks of any movement away from righteousness. And we need to understand that this, you could take from that that it's innocent, but it's not entirely innocent. Wandering in this sense, and what James is talking about, it is not like falling asleep on the school bus only to wake up and realize that you missed your stop. Did that happen to anybody? Like, I see some hands out there. Like, I have nightmares about that kind of stuff. But that's not wandering in this sense. Wandering would be more akin to you are hiding in the bus seat so that you miss your stop and you don't have to go home and do homework. Please don't raise your hand for that. But you see, there's an intentionality there. That's wandering. Even if there's a level of ignorance involved of the totality of your actions, there is still an intentionality there. That's wandering. And so it's important for us to notice as we consider this wandering that James says in verse 19, he says, "My brothers and sisters." That's a relational term. He's used that through the whole five chapters of his letter, and it's a relational. He's relating to them on their level. He's saying, "Friends, if one of you should wander." So James is writing to an early group of Christians facing persecution, and he's speaking to them directly. And he says, "If one of you should wander." And so as we begin to try to paint the picture, if you will, of who a wanderer is in our life, it is someone that has at least been a part of the church or is a part of the church currently or maybe at one time or another. Now, I don't think for James he is only calling us to look at our church relationships, but I do think that's critical. He's trying to get us, the big deal is not where we see them. We might find them at work or school or in our activities. The point is not where we encounter them, but what we do. More on that in just a minute. And so he says, "Brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth." So a wanderer is someone who is pulling away, is moving away from the truth. And so we should see this idea of truth in a couple different ways. First, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so at its most bottom shelf level, a wanderer is someone, anyone, who is pulling away from the person of Jesus, whether by belief or behavior. You see, in the book of James, what we believe cannot be separated from how we live, how we behave. That is a consistent theme from beginning to end. And so as we understand truth here, a wanderer is someone who may be forsaking or pulling away the core tenets of the faith. What they believe is no longer in alignment with the truth as it's revealed in God's word and by his Spirit. And so we may encounter a wanderer pulling away in theology and doctrine. But the other side of that coin and that truth is that we may encounter a wanderer or know a wanderer who is pulling away not by belief, but by behavior. James says in chapter 1, 22, he says, don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Again, there's that merger that what we profess to believe, we must therefore live. And so a wanderer could be letting go of the tenets of the faith and scriptural truth. A wanderer could be living such that they don't live the tenets, the call of the faith. That's a wanderer. So you sum all that up. A wanderer, who are we looking for? A wanderer, someone who was or is a part of the church and has started to drift away from Christ and biblical Christianity, either in what they believe or how they behave. That's a wanderer. And some of you might be here going, okay, I got the definition, but what does it look like? Maybe I should ask first, do you know a wanderer? Already, do you know someone in your life pulling away from truth? Some of you might be thinking, man, what does it look like? Can you paint a picture of this person going down the street? I can try. See, I can't give you every circumstance that might lead to wandering or paint every picture, but I can just share from my vantage point as a pastor. You see, wanderers might be overconsumed by their work. And I'm not just talking about working hard. Please work hard. I think God calls us to care about what we do and to work hard and diligently. But this goes beyond that to where someone's job is pulling them away from church attendance and faithfulness in their devotion and worship of the Lord. That can be wandering. Some wandering might come from a family or family activities. They're just so busy with what's happening, travel, sports for the kids, or vacations or hobbies, all good things or fun things, but something is changing priority that those are pulling now this family away from the Lord. That can be wandering. We might even find a political wanderer. Hang with me. Someone has gotten so consumed by partisan politics that they're angry, bitter. They say and post mean and cruel things about other people because of their political affiliation. And they might even think they're doing God's work, but they're not doing it God's way. And so that division, that anger has begun to pull them away from the truth of who Jesus is and who he's called us to be. We might find a lazy wanderer. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, but a lazy wanderer is just content to say, I'll work on it later. And here's the reality, friends. If we put nothing into our faith, we are soon to get just that back out of it. And listen, I'm not here to condemn any of these activities, to say that if you enjoy camping or whatever, that you're working hard, that you're automatically a wanderer. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying, I have seen these things in the lives of people pull them away from Jesus. And a lot of them are good, so we don't notice it. But the problem is that James says wandering leads to death. That's why it matters. That's why we're called to take notice. For anyone in our life, for any reason that is slowing down or pulling back in their faith, the old timers used to say backsliding. And friends, the big deal is not just that we notice, but that we do something. Go after them. And man, I had the opportunity to put that into practice this week. I was in an important meeting at the Harrisonburg campus on Wednesday, midday. I get a call from my wife. Now, that was a strange time for her to be calling, so I just thought, I better take this. Y'all know what that feeling's like, right? I better take this one. Well, I pick up the phone. Hello? Hey, did you see my text? Nope. Been in a meeting. What's up? She says, well, our neighbor just sent me pictures from their security cameras, and it looks like a dog like Waylon. So, well, curled tail, black. Yep. What's the next one? Oh, yeah. White tip on his tail, orange collar. That's the dog. Out of our yard, by the way. Now, just beyond that picture is Route 340. Interstate 340, in other words. Not exactly a safe place for a dog to be wandering about. So Ashley and I start comparing schedules. She's got meetings. She's locked down into things. I literally walked out of a meeting to take this phone call. Like, it's not convenient for either of us to go after and do something about this wanderer. But it's my dog. So down the road I go. I just hang up the phone, walk back in the room, start gathering up my jacket, my laptop, said, I gotta go. Walked out the door. Now, we live about 17 to 20 minutes, depending on stoplights and traffic, from the church in Harrisonburg. And the whole time, I've been working on this message, I've been thinking about it, and the whole time I'm driving down the road thinking, this is the message. This is the message. Like, I literally just grabbed my stuff without any more than two words to anybody and walked out of my job, got in the car, and now I'm barreling 20 minutes down the road hoping to find a wanderer. And as I'm sort of praying, sort of fuming, just going to confess, a little agitated, this question followed me from Harrisonburg to Elkton. Are you willing to do it for a person? Are you? If I'm willing to run after a dog, I willing to answer the call to go after a person? Are you? That's the picture of this passage. The wanderer. James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Wandering is such a big deal because James is saying, look, it can lead to death. And so that's telling us today that some of these things that draw us away are not a matter of preference or opinion, comfort or convenience. It's a matter of life and death. That's why I left all my stuff at Harrisonburg and just walked out the door. Not because I didn't think the dog was having a good time, but because I knew if he got in that road, it was over. It's the same thing with the wanderers in our lives. That's why this relationship is so critical. It's a matter of life and death. And you and I, as followers of Jesus, we are called to take action. And I need to make this side note. It doesn't say have the pastor make a call. You call. I understand that I have a responsibility in this as your pastor and the pastor of this local church, but he's not saying, hey, pastors, look after your people. He's saying, people, look after your people. This is for us. This is for all of us following after Jesus to take note of who is beginning to slip and to do something about it. We are all called to be life savers. That's the passage. That's the urgency of this message, is that we are called to be life savers. You say, okay, Pastor, fine. What do we do? Great question. How do we go after a wanderer and bring them back? I think it's telling to me, y'all know my brain's weird, so this is not a surprise to you. These are literally the last words of James. He doesn't then follow this up with a 1, 2, 3 of how to go after the wanderers. I think for James, if we've been following along with him and we step into this calling, we step into our responsibility as followers of Jesus to go after the wanderers, he's content that anything is better than nothing. And so he just says, do it. Okay, Lord. They should make a slogan or a t-shirt. Just do it. So how do we do it? What are things that we can put in place? What are things we should think about as we begin to engage with wanderers, right? Because that's questions I ask when I read this text. I'm going, man, okay, how do we do it? I see it. I see who they are. I see what we're looking for. I sense the urgency and the responsibility. Now what? Look, I put a couple things together. I just put them in an acrostic, and I know I'm doing too many of those lately, but like I put it together in an acrostic to make it portable. So that when you leave here thinking about the wanderer, you have something to go with. And the acrostic is simple, P-R-A-Y. And there's these cards are up in the front, they're on the back. What do you do? What do you do when he says go after them? You pray. You pray for them. And I'm sure that's not a surprise. It's not like you've never thought about that before, but it is absolutely essential. Because you see, we are called to pray for them, to pray about them. And something is happening. We are not only invoking the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not only asking him to move. God is working in our heart as we pray in his presence for them. And so he's not only working in their story, he's working in our heart. And so as we begin to go after the wanderers in our life, this will help temper our response. This will help guide us in the opportunity because we have spent the time in presence with the Lord in prayer to form ourselves. And the talking to the Lord about them, talking about them to the Lord is a lot better than gossiping about them to other people. You see, we are called to be people of grace. And so we need to start with prayer. He might just change us in the process. PR, relationship first. Note I don't say relationship only, but relationship first. You see, when we set out to engage in a wanderer, we need to lead with that interaction from a place of relationship. We need to have a genuine love and interest in the lives of people around us, especially the wanderers. And so as we come from a place of relationship, we're going to have a genuine interest, a care, a concern, a lived compassion for this person before we ever get the opportunity to say, hey, I can you talk to me about your life? I'm getting a little concerned about you. See, if I lead with my concern, I'm a self-righteous person. But if I lead with compassion and relationship, I'm a friend who's reaching out trying to save your life. Relationship first. Lead with relationship. Take action, P-R-A, action. This is, again, it's like you just got to do it. We got to go after them. There's not a way out of this passage. Just do it. And that can look like a phone call or a text. Because remember, you've prayed, you're leading with relationship. The action you take are informed by those two things. And so the action you take is going to be different. Maybe that's a phone call. Maybe that's a text. Maybe you'll see them outside, mowing the grass, shoveling snow. And you just get to whip in the driveway and go, hey, brother, where you been, man? I've missed you. How you doing? How's your family? But as you're praying and you're leading with relationship, God is going to open the door for you. Walk through it. Walk through it. Walk through it. Pray, relationship first, take action. Finally, yield the outcome. Say what? Yield the outcome. This might be the hardest one. Because I'm confident in this room this morning that someone has experienced the heartbreak of a wanderer who would not turn around. That you've prayed. You've done all you know how to do, and that person just keeps going away. And you know the heartbreak and the heaviness because you understand what James says. You know that the path they're on leads to death, but you cannot force someone to turn around. They might start wandering innocently or ignorantly, but they will only return by an act of the will and repentance before God. And we can't force that. And so we have to be willing to do what we can, to pray, to have God change our heart, to step into the opportunities he gives. But ultimately, we have to surrender that person to the grace and sovereignty of God. And that can be hard because we love them. But we have to yield the outcome. We have to yield the outcome. We can't make the decision for them. The only thing you and I can do is go after them. That's relationships righted with a wanderer. Who's the wanderer today in your life? Who's the wanderer? We're going to close today just putting this text into action. We're going to do a couple things here, so just please hold tight with me. We're going to pray for the wanderers. That's something we can do together. I believe there's power in doing that together. But before we do that, I want to talk to the wanderer in the room today. Because the reality is, wanderers can be in church. I know, because I was one. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been hearing me talk about this drift, this pulling away from Jesus, from whether truth and doctrine or whether by behavior, and you've been thinking, uh-oh. Maybe you've got that knot in your stomach thinking, shoot, he's talking about me. Friends, that knot in your stomach is not me. That's your heavenly Father saying, come home. And so here in a little bit when we respond, I'm just going to ask you to come back. Because today, I don't know how you got here, what your story is, but today you are being thrown a life raft. You're being thrown a floatable today. Saying, won't you return? And I don't know how your story began, how your season of wandering got started, but it is only going to come to an end. You are only going to return to the Lord when you come to the end of yourself once again and you say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. These things, some of these good things, some of these negative things, all these things that have served to pull me away from you, God, they are sin in my life. And we don't like to call good things sin, but it can be true. And so we need to just own up, Lord, I have sinned against you, and I need forgiveness. And then we repent, like we take a hold to that life preserver and we come back into right relationship. We change, we correct the spiritual slippage that's been in our life. We respond to the invitation of who Jesus is and who he's calling us to be. And we embrace him. And if that's you today, here in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to come and grab a lifesaver. Because there is one true lifesaver, and that's Jesus Christ. And so in just a minute, they're up here on the altar. There's a table in the back with some of these on it. As a sign of faith, of coming home, come and grab a hold of one of these and just hold it. And we're going to pray together. I want to talk to another group of people in the room. Those of you that know a wanderer. I'm going to ask you to come and grab a lifesaver. And every time you look at that thing, don't eat it. Every time you look at that thing, I want you to remember James 5 and your call to go after them. Pastor Terry just talked about our Lenten devotional. That whole thing is just 40 days leading up to Easter. maybe for 40 days you would put this little lifesaver somewhere and you would pray for the wanderers in your life. And as you begin to pray, you see that reminder. Maybe you carry it with you. I don't know how that works for you. But you see this reminder and you pray and you're leading with relationship, checking up on them. You're taking action. What if this season is the season that their life changes? They need a lifesaver. Will you be it? Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to pray, but I would invite you to respond. And see, the thing is, if you're a wanderer today coming back to the lifesaver, or if you're coming to pray for a wanderer, nobody knows why you're coming. But would you just come today, right now, just come and stand up here, and we're going to pray together. I know wanderers, and I've got a lifesaver. And we're going to pray together that the Lord would move today. And so I would just invite you to come. I'm going to tarry for just a second. You come up here and stand. The band's going to lead us in just a moment. And you are welcome to take a little card. There's the pray acrostic across the front, and there's a prayer on the back. If you're not sure how to pray for a wanderer, there's a place to start. Who thought the crackle of a candy wrapper would sound so good in church? A wanderer returning home today, I just want to say, welcome home. You are loved. And it's God's grace that has called you here. Welcome home. And if you're holding this today, knowing a wanderer in your life, this is the best thing we can start to do. So let's pray this morning. Lord Jesus, thank you today for your word, the words of James. Lord, thank you that he paints the severity of the picture for us. Lord, because I need to repent. I need to ask your forgiveness, Lord, for the times I've shrugged it off to say, it's just the season they're in. It's just their choice. Whatever that excuse was, Lord, I neglected to go after them. Lord, I'm sorry for the wanderers I didn't go after. Lord, today, as we hold this reminder, for that person who is recentering, who is coming home to you today, God, you are our lifesaver. There is nothing sweeter than being in right relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray for that person today recommitting and coming back and seeking to adjust that spiritual slippage, that backslidden place. Lord, we know that as soon as we do that about face and turn to you, that you meet us with arms of grace and mercy. So, Lord, I pray for spiritual strength in the days ahead, a resolve, Lord, to walk with you. And for the wanderers today represented in these pieces of candy, Lord, you see each one. You hear every prayer this morning. And, Lord, we are going to be faithful to the word of God, to your word, and James saying somebody needs to go after them. And so, Lord, we are starting here today. We plead that your grace would go after them, Lord. Convince them. Put that knot in their stomach. Put a billboard beside the road. Whatever it is, God, may they know that you are after them, that you love them. And, Lord, as we pray for them, would you change our hearts? Lord, that we wouldn't lead with a self-righteous posture, but, Lord, one of relational humility to say, hey, I care about you and what's happening in your life. And Lord, we're trusting that you will give us opportunities. Lord, give us boldness and kindness as we step into those opportunities. And Lord, ultimately, we're reminded we can't turn anyone around. we can only care and go after them. So, Lord, we yield that to you today. But together we stand praying for the wanderers in our life. Can you see their face today? Do you know their story? Jesus, we know that you do. Use us today to go after them, to be a lifesaver. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We live about 20 minutes from the Harrisonburg campus, and I'm halfway fuming, halfway praying, riding down the road. I start to get close to our house, and I start checking the ditches. Right? Because wandering leads to death. So I'm going slow, checking the ditches, and I'm thinking, Lord, can he just be there? Can he just be there? He's not known for his intelligence, I'll just say that. So I don't see him in the ditches. Okay, Lord, thank you. Pull into the driveway, and I'm looking through the woods. I'm looking at the neighbor's dog. The neighbor dog is chill. I'm like, okay, so he's not with her. Pull into the driveway, and put it in park, and I hop out and just kind of stand up, and I'm making my first turn around, and I see this knucklehead coming through the woods. He's just breaking his way through the snow, coming back home. And I wanted to strangle him and kill him, but you know, that was outweighed by the joy of having a wanderer come home. So I put him in the house, went back to work. Friends, I'm praying that this season is the season we get to welcome some wanderers home. Wanderers in your life. But we got to go after them. Lord Jesus, will you show us the way? Show us the wanderers. Make our heart match yours. Give us boldness to go after them. Help us to understand our responsibility in relationship with them. Lord, may this season be the season that wanderers come home to you, that eternity is different. Lord, we love you today. We thank you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thanks for joining us in worship today, friends. Go in peace. Know that you are loved and you are a lifesaver.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.